Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mafia. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's the beard, Mr. Harden, 30 plus point games. That is freaky stuff. The player of the week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. Tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on CBS Sports Network, it's a battle in the Big East when Creighton goes head-to-head with Xavier in the Queen City on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Duke now down 5, a timeout. They were down 20 at the half, right? Are you kidding me? CBS has got that game tomorrow night. You can watch on CBS Sports Network. But college basketball is out of control right now. We're watching tons of games tonight. I'm hitting tons of games. PharrellOnTheBench.com is nailing games nightly. NBA, same thing. NHL, no one touches us. Boxing, MMA, do we ever get fights wrong? I mean, honestly, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife or girlfriend at all times. Tomorrow, episode 146 of Pharrell on the Bets. It's a half-hour sports betting show every day, Tuesday through Sunday, on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, Apple, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere good podcasts are available. Subscribe free. Free is me. And make sure you follow me on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO. Don't forget, at ILC Podcast, Carver High's hockey show. He's going to have a bash February 23rd on the Offside Tavern, 14th Street, Chelsea, Lower Manhattan, 8 o'clock Eastern. Come see him do the show live, and then he's having a bash at a parking lot or something at a hockey game at the Coliseum on the 28th where the Islanders are playing the Leafs, and they're going to all yell satanic messages to John Tavares and wish death on him the whole night.
We already have a couple of the chants, I believe, planned out for that night.
There you go.
We don't need you.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4, CBS brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, boat, RV insurance? They got that too. Just go to geico.com. Would your favorite thing be to play them in the playoffs and beat them? Would that be the ultimate? Who do you want to face? Do you care?
I don't care.
But would you like to beat him?
All I care about right now is that they with how well they've played, that they end up with home ice in the first round.
Do you believe if they met the Leafs, they would beat them in a series?
I think that they could. I think it would be an even series. Leaf fans won't say that, but I think it'll be an even series.
Well, the Leaf fans think they're going to win the Stanley Cup every year.
Correct.
It's been a few years. You know, it really has.
I think it's an even series. Obviously, Toronto's better.
1967 is the last time it happened. I was 2. I mean, that is the most remarkable thing I think I've ever seen in sports. To me, that because they've won a bunch of them, right, in their history. And the fact that they haven't won one since 1967, to me, is the most staggering failure in sports. It really is.
You know, they added more teams to the league, so that hurt them.
I guess so. I mean, evidently, right? So, over under, are you taking yes or no that Duke wins this game?
Duke wins.
Down 5 right now. Is that about accurate? And you're telling me
Louisville's crumbling.
They're down 5, and there's still 3:20 left and ticking.
Lifetime left in this game.
Like a lifetime. So I got to tell you how disappointed I am in the fans tonight. And it's not going to even phase me one bit. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to bang this show out like you read about. And then, in a turnover, Zion's got the rock. And then I'm going to get on that jet airliner. And I'm going to be gone until the 25th. And you're going to be wishing you had called me. Trust me. I mean, I'm like a Dr. Zhivago over here. Here's Mafia lubing up the chassis of the Ferrella jet to get me ready for my journey to the Caribbean tomorrow. Oh, now it's a two-point game. Two-point game, Duke. They've got him rattled. Completely rattled. And a full-court press. Trap. They got a trap on. They got a trap on. He almost turned it over. Unbelievable. I thought he was going to turn it over there, didn't you? And here's the deal. They're not getting good shots. But that one fell for three. That was a huge bucket. Absolutely huge. They were only up two. That's an enormous bucket. 2:20 left. Anthony in Boston on the hub. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
First of all, I love you. You are the greatest. You have the greatest voice ever in the history of the radio. You remind me of the man who used to call the Boston Celtics. But what I want to say is that
Johnny Most.
Yes, sir. You remind me of Mr. Johnny Most. And what I want to say to you, Mr. Ferrell, is that, first of all, why does everybody still hate the Patriots? And number two, I think that young man from Pittsburgh, he needs to come to the New England Patriots. And if he does, it's lights out for the league. And what I'm going to ask you one more time is, when does championship week start? I love you.
Thanks,
you are
brother.
The greatest voice.
Thanks, Anthony. Mafia's had enough of people complimenting me. You could tell there he just stopped having the guy on the air. He's like, I'm not going to have it. All night long, just rubbing this guy's, you know, belly. Can't have it. All right, so here's the deal. First things first. It's an honor to be in the same breath as Johnny Most. Secondly, I think Antonio Brown would not fit on the New England Patriots because he's too much of a pain in the ass for Bill Belichick to put up with him. He's just not gonna have it. He has he has guys that just lunch pail, go to work, do your job. He could barely deal with Randy Moss. Do you think he's going to the Patriots?
No.
You think they're
gonna trade him to
the Patriots?
No, they're not trading him to the Patriots.
Crazy.
I'm saying that if he was there, he'd get in line just like Randy Moss did. But there is 0.0% chance that he is going to the Patriots,
right?
Because the Steelers still control this. They can decide who they want to send him to.
And he's not going there.
And he's not going there.
How about this one? The guy asked me, why do people hate the Patriots? Gee, do you think it's because...
Calls like that.
Or, gee, do you think it's because they play in the Super Bowl every single year and win it every other year and they've won six of them now and people are sick and tired of them? Do you think that has anything to do with it, maybe? Here's the deal. Whoever's on top in any sport, people hate. That's the deal. Like, my Penguins won back-to-back Stanley Cups. Everybody hated them. Just hates their guts, right? Meanwhile, I'm walking into the everywhere I go every day with my Penguin jacket on, making enemies wherever I go. So the game is tied now with a minute left, and Duke just missed a shot. They have come back from 20 down to tie this game. Mafia, do they win the game, or does Louisville find a way?
Duke's going to get it because I'm sure there's going to be some big call in the last minute. It's going to give it to him.
So you think they'll get a call to win the game?
Of course. Don't they always?
Well, right now, Louisville's got to get a shot off. And he misses the three, and Duke gets the rebound. And it's almost the same time on the shot clock by like 5 seconds to get a shot off and win the game. If they can score, Louisville would have about 5 seconds. They called a timeout now. They'll have about 5 or 6 seconds to score if they... If Duke were to score a two or a three, Louisville will still get the ball and a chance to get up the court in 5 or 6 seconds, which is plenty of time to get off a good shot. You can get up that court in 3 seconds, four max, and still have 2 seconds to get a pass and a good shot off. Aleem in Pennsylvania, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Fro.
Hey, man.
Hey, I just wanted to talk a little basketball, NBA. I think LeBron right now, he's ruining the sport. I feel like it's hard to tune in to the regular season right now. It's not interesting.
Why is he ruining the league?
I just think with the moving everywhere and the late games in L.A., it's hard to watch on the East Coast.
That makes no sense to me at all. Here's the deal. Tape the games. You can watch them the next day when you wake up and smoke bong rips. Seriously. He's not ruining anything. He's kept the league afloat for the last how many years? Literally, what, a dozen years? How long has he been playing now? I mean, longer than that, right?
Probably like 14 years.
Okay, so he's kept the league afloat by himself. Thank you very much.
So great players only allowed to play on East Coast time, apparently?
That's basically what he just said. Can't have them playing in the West Coast. It ruins his sleeping habits.
See, that seems like it's the complete opposite to me, because when you get players like him and Durant and those guys out west, then you actually want to stay up and watch those games as opposed to being like, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to watch Philly and Boston and go to bed.
People watch. Okay, so no one that has a normal job, like that gets up at 6 in the morning to go to work or 5 in the morning to go to work, right? They don't watch late night basketball games. That's the bottom line. We watch every game because we're on here from 10 to 2 east, 7 to 11 west. So what we do is we watch both coasts. And people always ask me, why do I do the show late at night? Now, some people would think it's because I suck. And others realize that it's because I love being on when all the games are on, okay? I've never enjoyed, I've done morning drive. I've done well in morning drive. I got huge ratings. I've done afternoon drive. I was number one in afternoon drive in Atlanta. All I know is this. I've done it all. I like nights the best because I'm on when all the games are on. East Coast start to finish. West Coast start to finish. That's that. So what's the deal? Duke missed?
They called a charge, but they're saying that he's in the circle. His foot's in the circle.
So they're going to get the call. There's the call you just said, that Duke would get a call to win the game. He was in the circle. His foot's in the circle. So that's Duke ball, right?
It's going to be Duke free throws.
Yeah, you can't possibly not reverse this call. So that's that. Andrew in Tucson.
Ferrelli, shake it up.
Yeah, so again, I just want to say, I like watching these West Coast games. Warriors every night, Lakers every night, whoever, Sacramento Kings. I don't care, Denver. I don't care who it is, Utah, Phoenix. I'll watch any of them. Any team I'll watch. Clippers, it doesn't matter. I watch every game. I'll watch college. I'll watch NHL West Coast games. I love West Coast games. There's no difference. And in fact, the bottom line is in the NBA, all the teams in the West are better anyway. I mean, for the most part, there's what, 4 good teams in the East at best? And there's way better teams in the West if you ask me to watch. So go ahead, Andrew.
Heck yeah, man. You think we can open up the Ferrello Pub?
It's been open. What do you need?
I need a whiskey.
Get him a whiskey on rocks.
Yes, sir, man. Love your show.
Thanks, dude.
I hope you have a great time in the Caymans, and you play a lot of baccarat and sports betting.
Sweet.
And also, my question to you is, you're a huge Steelers fan. Brown has taken a dive for the worse. Do you think this kid, Juju, will ever be able to kind of get to that level that Brown was at his peak, you know, best receiver in the NFL? You think you can do that for your team, man?
Well, I think he's already been doing it. The guy has been fantastic, and I think he's only going to get better. He's going to become their number one. That's all there is to it. They're going to deal Brown, and Bell's not going to be playing there either. It's that simple. And one other note, I'm not going to the Caymans. I've been to the Caymans. I love the Caymans. I did the Ritz at the Caymans. Badass place. But I'm not going to the Caymans. I'm going south as far as the world will let me go. In the Caribbean. I mean to tell you, Lesser Antilles, baby. I'm going as far south as humanly possible so no one can find me. That's what I'm doing. Coming back, B-Comp, legend on the bench talking pucks.
You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench.
Can't even tell you, Mafia, how many games I'm actually sitting here betting on for tomorrow in, like, college basketball. I mean, it is out of control, the amount of action I have going tomorrow. Make sure you tune in to Ferrell on the Bets tomorrow morning. The new episode, 146, believe me, you, it's loaded. I'm doing all the college rack picks as we speak. I'm betting heavily. B-Comp is back, legendary on the bench. Brian Compton, NHL.com. How you doing, Brian? Everything good?
Everything's well, Scott. If you need money, just ask Carver High. He'll help you out, all right?
I believe that. so I got to go back to last night. I'm watching the Penguins beat the Flyers in Philadelphia, and you saw this play with Malkin and Michael Raffel. Is that his name?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so you saw it. I saw it. I'm assuming you saw it. That this guy, did he not, like, sucker punch him in the back of the skull? Did he not do that? And then, you know, obviously they get the guy that retaliates. They got Malkin for swinging his stick at Raffel. I did not, from what I saw, maybe I'm wrong, it did not look like that stick hit him. That was all acting to me. He did not get hit in the face with that stick. In fact, I thought he missed him by at least a foot.
I'm not sure if that matters, Scotty. I don't think you can swing your stick like that regardless, right? That's
but, nothing.
I'm not disputing what you're saying about Raffle, but I mean, you can't do that.
I get all that. That's fine. Suspend him all you want. It doesn't matter. That guy'd love a night off anyway. So, and he still gets paid. So here's the deal. You know, I'm saying the other guy, Raffle, was a diver, and he cheap shotted him in the back of the skull. Did he not?
Well, I'm not going to comment on that. What I'm going to say, to try to answer your question, is that you cannot do it. What Malkin did, that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah. Nice job by the refs there. They're doing a fine job at the NHL. Their refs, they should, you know, really feel good about themselves. In fact, I'm going to get them all a bottle of Crown Royal because that's what you do for your mother, right?
What are you doing to me here, Scott?
You know what I mean? You get your mom a bottle of Crown when she's the best mom in the world. I saw the commercial. I think we should give them to the NHL refs because they're the best refs in the world. I mean,
I get my mom flowers. I don't really buy her much alcohol.
You know, I got to tell you, I think I just want to say that I think Valentine's Day sucks because I think, you know, Carver High and I had this discussion. I want to ask you, B-Comp.
Sure.
How rough is it for you shopping for women on their birthday and Valentine's Day and Christmas? How much of a pain in the ass is that?
Birthday and Christmas is tough. Valentine's Day is not, because I know it's a scam, and I told my wife that a long time ago, so it all works out. We have a nice dinner, but there are no gifts.
So you don't do the gifts on Valentine's
Day? Absolutely not.
You know what I told my wife? I'm taking her to the Caribbean tomorrow, and I told her, there's your gift.
Yeah, that's a nice gift, right?
I was like, there's your gift. Let's get naked. I go, what's up?
I don't know if that's a gift for her, but I mean,
listen, are you kidding me? I'm like, honestly, I'm like your boy El Chapo. I'm so popular over here in bed. David Pastrnak, he's injured with a thumb injury. You know, he's really been grinding it out this year for the Bruins. I thought he's leading them in points. He's been lighting it up. This guy's a stud in Boston.
He is a terrific player. It's a big loss, but lo and behold, the Bruins scored 6 tonight without him. So it just shows how much depth that they have, and they're going to be a tough outcome playoff time. They're a good hockey team.
He had 31 and 35 dimes already on the season. The guy's been incredible, and nice win for him tonight against the Blackhawks. Do you find that team to be dangerous at all in the postseason? Like, you just said that you think they'll be a tough out. Like, what about them worries you in terms of that they're not that good to win at all? Because I don't think they can win at all.
Well, I mean, their depth, and Patrice Bergeron is probably the best two-way player in the league, and they have some goaltending depth. If Rask goes down, you got Yaroslav Halak right behind them. So they're pretty stacked top to bottom, and I would watch out come trade deadline, Scotty. I think they're going to be in the mix for a guy like Kevin Hayes from the Rangers, so we'll see.
Wow, did you hear that? All right, so right now, let's say, what would they play like? If it ended today, which it won't, so I'm going to do it anyway, they would play like a Columbus Blue Jacket team in the playoffs. Do you think that they would beat them?
I would definitely think Boston would beat Columbus in the 7-game series.
Doesn't Columbus always find a way to lose?
They've never won a playoff series.
Right. Do you think it has something to do with, and I love the state of Ohio because I'm from Pennsylvania and those are my neighbors, and I spend a lot of time in Youngstown, and I've done a lot of bad things there, including felonies and drinking, and I've run naked in the snow there. I just wanted to say that I love my friends from Ohio, but do you believe that the state of Ohio might have something to do with the Blue Jackets have never won anything?
I don't. I think it's just some bad luck, and Bobrovsky hasn't been very good in the playoffs, and that's the other thing too, Scott. I mean, are the Blue Jackets going to hang on to Bobrovsky and Panarin at the deadline? I think they will, but there's a chance that they don't. So we'll see.
You know, your boy Carver High is talking. He's clamoring about a Islander-Blue Jacket game this week that's going to be huge.
Yeah, Thursday night should be a big one. The Islanders lost tonight. They had a chance to win 4 in a row. Fell short. Buffalo played pretty well. The Islanders did not play well. But that's certainly a big game Thursday night in Columbus.
Will you be going, Brian Compton, NHL.com? He's not allowed to say anything bad ever about anything, or he'll be fired. Let me ask you this question. Do you, and I'll say all the bad things for him in a joking manner so that the people at the league office still love me and him at the same time. That's like a dual oppie. Is that a word?
I have no idea.
Let me ask you, will you be going to the Offside Tavern on the 23rd and to the tailgate party on the 28th?
I would love to go on the 23rd. I'm not going to be able to make it because we have an outdoor game in Philadelphia that night. But I'm going to be there this Saturday. I'm going to join Mikey after the game against Edmonton for a little bit just to catch up with him. And then I will be at the tailgate. I have a very, very busy week that week, but I will certainly be there and again catch up with Mike again for sure.
You know, Carver High told me that they're providing a local brewery with kegs of beer and that he has vowed to not drink that night.
I don't buy that for one second.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard, that Carver High's not going to have a beer. That's funny. I mean, it really is. That is one of the –
When I'm done with the pregame responsibilities, I'll have a beer.
Shut up.
I guess that's fair. But I
liar. He's a liar. All right. The new coaches this year. How's Ken Hitchcock doing at Edmonton? I say not well.
Yeah, he got off to a pretty good start and things fell apart again. They're a mess, Scotty. There's not a whole lot there right now on the back end. And they gave Mikko Koskinen a very bizarre contract a few weeks ago. So not quite sure what direction the Oilers are going to try to go here over the next few weeks, but they need a lot on that.
Are the Hurricanes, Sabres, and Flyers a danger to the Canadiens and Penguins in that chase for the wild cards?
That's a good question. Carolina's playing really well. They just went 4-5 on the road. I don't think Buffalo has the horses to get it done in the end. I'm still not crazy about their back end. And Philly keeps winning. They're going to be in the race. They've got their goaltending situation resolved with Carter Hart. It's been fantastic for them.
We think the Blues will make the playoffs.
Yeah, I do. I do.
And do you think they'll do any damage there? They've won 7 in a row. They're on fire, 8 of 10.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I think they're going to get in. You know, this kid Binnington has been pretty good between the pipes, but this will be his first go-around in the playoffs, so I'm not quite sure if they have enough to win the first round.
So the team that I picked at the beginning in the West was the Sharks when they got Carlson. They are now ahead of Calgary, you know, for the time being. They've won 6 in a row. Jumbo passed Gordie Howe last night. Do you think the Sharks are good enough to win the West?
Eric Carlson better be healthy. If he's not healthy come playoff time, I don't know if they'll come out of that Western Conference. But Calgary is still my pick. I love their top four on the blue line. And, man, is Johnny Gaudreau a ton of fun to watch.
They've been slumping all of a sudden.
I know, but I think they'll be okay.
Liar. What about Ferelipeg? What do you think of that team?
So much fun. I think they need more from Laine down the stretch. He's been invisible more often than not over the last few weeks. But if he goes cold come playoff time, the Jets are going to be in trouble, I think.
How about Patty Kane, the numbers he's putting up in Chicago and carrying that team? Do they have a shot at that last wild card, being that they're only 4 points out right now?
Yeah, I mean, the West isn't great. I mean, it's very top-heavy, right, Scotty? And then once you get past, you know, the fourth or fifth team, it's really a toss-up. So you put that team up in the playoffs with all the experience that they have. I think they could be a dangerous out, but they need a healthy Corey Crawford for sure.
Now, the Flyers, we were talking about them before, but they've won. They went 8-1-1-10, and I think they beat the Wild tonight 5-4.
They did win tonight, yeah.
So do you think they cheap-shotted anyone in the back of the head in that game?
I did not notice. Yeah, I pretty much watched the whole game, and I didn't see anything.
You don't even notice these things. All you notice is the retaliatory guy. That's you're like one of those refs. We got to send him maybe send him some Sherry's Berries, this guy.
You can't swing your stick like that, brother. You know that.
Shut up! Back in the day, you could swing anything you wanted in the NHL. And I watched Slapshot this week on NHL Network. It's the best thing they've aired in 15 years on that damn channel.
Have a great trip, Scotty.
Thanks, B-Com. Good luck to you. Have fun at the tailgate party that Carver High is going to be drinking Kool-Aid at.
I definitely will, brother. Have fun.
There he is, yeah. B-Com, Brian Compton of NHL Network. He's a huge conspirator for the Islanders, along with Carver High.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Matt Moore is our buddy. He's now with the Action Network. He used to be with us at CBS, and now he's having fun because he's allowed to talk and freely gamble without getting in trouble. How you been, Matt?
Doing well, man. How are you?
How's the gig?
Going great, man. We're doing lots of cool stuff over here.
Good for you. So let me ask you, I want to start out with the Sixers, 1-7 against the other contenders in the East. They can't beat anybody. They just lost to the Celtics, who were allegedly crumbling going into the game, and they were going under. That was a huge win for Boston tonight, a bad loss for the Sixers. And then afterwards, Embiid said the refs, Pharrell and suck, and he's going to get a nasty fine for that.
Yeah, he's had problems with this team throughout the matchup. Like, he just cannot seem to figure out Al Horford. I thought he would do better tonight with Aaron Baines being out, but, you know, he had a bunch of points, but it wasn't on efficient shooting. The Celtics really give him problems with how physical they are and how they time their doubles. There was clearly a foul on Al Horford on that one of the late plays in the game where that was a foul. And so I understand why Embiid was pissed, but, you know, part of the issue is just he has a lot of issues with this stuff. Like, he just has a lot of problems with the Celtics team. And until they figure out how to get Embiid past that team, they're not going to be able to beat the Celtics.
You know, everybody says that they have the best, in the East lineup now. An all-star, five of them, at least four of them all-stars, maybe five, that they're the best, roster besides the Warriors now in the NBA. Are you buying all of that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think also it's like, you know, raw talent isn't as important now. I think it's about how you play. Like, do you play together? Denver's won a ton of games with not nearly as much talent because they play together. I think that's what it's about. And you also need to have versatility and the ability to switch up matchups. And that's something that, honestly, Philly didn't have as much of before the trade, and they got more of it, and that's what's helped them. But I don't think it's about talent. I think it's about being able to find the right matchups. And that's why I think tonight's got to be frustrating for them, because no Kyrie Irving, they still weren't able to find the matchups that would get them to win.
So Matt Moore with his Action Network. I was on in Milwaukee today, and they were talking about the Bucks with me. How good is this team? And it's more than just Giannis. There's, you know, Middleton and Brogdon and a lot of guys, Bledsoe. These guys are all a big piece of this pie that they got going with the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks. I mean, they're really good. And we're at that point now in the season where, you know, we got to start asking. For a while, it was, all right, nice regular season team, okay. All right, they're off to a good start. We'll see if they can hold it. Well, now we're at the point where, look, they're not just beating teams. They're beating the pants off of everybody. And we got to start asking, are we not giving them enough credit? Are we overlooking them because they don't have the quote-unquote experience when, you know, you look at it, this Celtics team isn't the same one that went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. They went last year, but they're entirely different with Kyrie Irving. We know the chemistry is all messed up there. The Raptors have had playoff issues. They're a different team, but they're still, this core is still unproven. So the question is, like, why not Milwaukee? Why would we not believe that Milwaukee can pull this off with Giannis playing the way he is, with how Mike Budenholzer has spaced the floor? They are great on defense, which nobody talks about. They're one of the best defensive units in the NBA. This Bucks team, I think, is legit, and to me, they're the best value to come out of the East.
Matt Moore with us. The Raptors now with Gasol, are they better for sure than they were before that trade?
They looked really good last night. We'll see if that continues. I was a little bit skeptical going in after they made the trade, just because he's very different from all the other stuff that they've run this year and last year. His strengths are finding cutters and making great passes, and that's not how this team has operated. They have one of the lowest rates of getting points off of cuts in the league. So I didn't know where he was going to make them better. I still have some concerns about it in a playoff matchup because, look, I've been a Marc Gasol guy for years. I know his game real well. He's not the same dude he was when he won Defensive Player of the Year. He's a little slower, and that's going to be a problem versus Brooke Lopez, who can spread the floor from really deep, and Al Horford, who can pick and pop in the same way. You know, I think we're going to have to see in the playoffs if Gasol can still contain. He has looked really good, but I think the jury's still out.
So what do you think of how bad the Knicks are? They're a league worst 10-46. They dropped their 30th game in 32 outings when they lost to the Cavs the other night. They play Philly tomorrow night at the Garden. They'll get their ass beat in that game, too. You know it. I know it. It's so obvious that they're tanking. If you ask me, they play this game like, you know, it's just a loss, and we're not worried about losses. We're getting better. We're not looking at the scoreboard and all this other nonsense Fizdale's trying to sell people. He's full of it. They're full of it. And the bottom line is they are absolutely atrocious. I've never seen anything like how obvious it is that they're throwing games.
Well, part of it also is, like, they were playing, you know, like, all right, let's get the young guys' experience. Let's get Alonzo Trier and Kevin Knox minutes and see if we can figure out the point guard rotation with Frank Ntilikina and Emmanuel Mudiay. And we'll try and figure stuff out. And then when Porzingis comes back, maybe we can win a few games at the end of the year. Like, we could have a little bit of momentum. And now, like, that's completely out the door. Both Neal Aquina and Moutier don't look like long-term solutions. I think Knox has been – I think there are flashes of what Knox can be. I think Knox is going to be a good player. I like Trier a lot. But, you know, overall, like, this team is not playing for anything, and everyone knows it because everything's about this summer. Everything is about this summer. And the Knicks have all of their eggs in one basket yet again. Now, maybe they don't. Maybe they don't have it, because if they wind up with the worst – with the best lottery odds, with the worst record, and they get Zion, well, that either helps you get AD or you got Zion Williamson. So maybe they don't have all their eggs in the free agency basket, but in the meantime, it is just painful watching this team. That it looked like this team was trying to build towards something, and now we're back to what the Knicks have always done, which is trying to cut corners to get back into contention.
You know, Matt Moore with the Action Network on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio. You know, back in the day when the Knicks got Ewing, everybody said that that it was rigged. And do you believe that it was? And do you think that it'll be rigged again so that the Knicks finally get a pick worthy like Zion Williamson? Do you think they're going to get him?
I don't think it was rigged, because I think it's just there's too much risk involved with something like that. If it were to get conclusively found out, there's too much damage to it. I always think, what's the risk-reward ratio for these kind of things? And how can you keep that a secret as conclusively as you need to? Maybe that's naive, but I tend to think that that's not how it went down. This one, I don't know, because I think there are a lot of storylines with how this can go. Also, bear in mind, you know, if the Knicks get Zion Williamson, that increases their ability to trade for Anthony Davis, and that hurts the Lakers. Does the league want the Knicks to be good, or do they want the Lakers to be great? So if you're going to go down that road, there's a whole bunch of complicated scenarios. In the end, I think we're going to probably see him wind up in Atlanta or Phoenix or somewhere else that's probably going to squander his early career, and we're going to wind up with him in the same situation Anthony Davis is in now.
Why would they prefer letting the Lakers be great as opposed to the Knicks, who've been for 20 years like the worst team in the league?
Well, it's a debate, right? Like, which would you rather? And the answer is the league wants both of them to be good. The league wants both of them to be great teams. They want the playoffs to be both.
So you let them get Zion. You let them win the lottery. Let's say hypothetically they win it, and then they do whatever they want. They could trade for AD and give the Pelicans that pick. Or, I mean, the Lakers already have LeBron James, and they botched the Davis deal. So they already have LeBron, and they already have a loaded team with talent with Ingram and Kuzma. You can't deny that. I don't think they don't need anything compared to what the Knicks need. The Lakers are just fine, thank you. It's the Knicks that are a disaster.
Oh, I agree with you on that. But I think that problem is going to go no matter what roster you put there. I think ownership is always going to determine how bad the Knicks are. Plus, I would not be – the Lakers lost the Hawks tonight, my friend. I would not be so sure about how great this Lakers team is.
Well, I know that. I started the show with how embarrassing that loss is. You cannot lose to the Atlanta Hawks, but I bet the Knicks will lose to them this week, and that's all there is to it. And they certainly have more exciting players in Trae Young than anyone on the Knicks. I don't care what anybody says. That, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., they're you know, raking him now like he's some kind of hero. They didn't even want him in Dallas. So I think they should be very careful about how great Dennis Smith Jr. is, because he can dunk. I think that's ridiculous. So you're watching the Warriors, and you see this whole Kevin Durant thing play out. I have a question for you. The guy was, the media sucks, grow up, leave me alone, I just want to play ball and stay out of my life. And then, you know, less than 5 days later, he's on Good Morning America and ESPN all morning sucking up to the media so that they'll promote his boardroom show. Which is it? Does he hate us, or does he have to manipulate us and use us to benefit?
I think it's definitely the latter, and I think it was all part of it. I think he went out and pulled that whole stunt, you know, to increase his whole visibility, and then followed up with all the stuff on ESPN. My whole thing is, I don't care if Kevin Durant wants to talk to media or not, as long as he doesn't have to answer the questions well. He could be like, no comment, no comment, no comment. He's got to be available per the league's rules, as far as the contract he signed and the agreement that the league has in terms of its policies. After that, he can answer however he wants. My whole thing is just, I don't understand the need to be lecturing people, especially when you're going to go out and have this entire boardroom thing on ESPN with, oh, by the way, new offices where? In New York City. Like, how does he not know what's going to happen? He skipped out on media for 9 days the moment the Knicks traded Kristaps Porzingis to clear cap space. Like, what does he think is going to happen? The answer is he knows exactly what was going to happen. He planned it that way. it's all about manipulation of the system, and it's definitely apparent that KD has learned how to pull that trick.
Do you think anyone can beat that team at all, or are we just wasting our time and that they're going to win another championship?
I've gone back and forth on it. Usually, like the last 3 years, I've been like, no, nobody's beating them. Nobody's beating them. You know, when the Cavs came back and won in 2016, I was waiting for game eight. That's how I felt. Like, they have to win all these games. But I think this year's team is great. I think Cousins gives them something. But the chemistry is really tenuous. And we saw last year a team that was able to switch effectively with great defense and could grind down in Houston, push them to the brink, and should have won that series. OKC's got a chance at that. OKC has that model. I don't see anybody else outside of maybe if the Bucks can go in with their offense. To me, it's the Bucks and the Thunder are the only two teams I feel like can actually give the Warriors a run. And then you're just hoping that something crazy tilts it and for it to be really competitive.
How crazy? Do you think they'll win tomorrow night as well in Portland when they go up to the Moda, the Warriors?
I do. I think Portland's – I mean, it's the last game for All-Star break, so there's always a chance that they just completely take off for that one. But Portland's been pretty rough versus good teams. They're 500 versus the West. They haven't been playing good ball for the last 2 months or so. There's every reason to think the Golden State's going to take care of business.
All right, tomorrow. I got 30 seconds. What's better, Harden's streak or Westbrook's streak?
I like how Paul George is playing on both ends of the floor is my answer on that one. If I got to choose between them, to me, it's Westbrook's consistency. I think the fact that Harden's doing this while averaging 8 assists, that's more impressive. But the scoring, he's got all this usage. He's got all the opportunities. I know he can shoot. Westbrook being able to keep this streak up and be able to put that much production in night after night, and he's making Paul George a better player, that to me is more impressive.
It is. I'll give you that. Matt, great stuff. Say hi to Chad Millman, and keep rocking at Action Network. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Will do, man. Take care.
All right. Matt Moore on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.